Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, everyone. This is Jeff Salkin for Eye on the Community. Today, our very special guest is Dr. Sonia Nayer, a well-known neurologist from Choice Medical Group, to talk about another very important healthcare topic, headaches and the causes and how to get rid of them. Dr. Nayer is affiliated with Choice Medical Group, the Victor Valley, California area's only locally owned and operated medical group for over 26 years. Welcome, Dr. Nayer.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
You're most welcome. Before we start, I'd like to ask Dr. Nayer to tell us a little bit about herself so our listeners know more about her background, medical specialty, and why she chose being a healthcare caregiver as a calling. Welcome, Dr. Nayer.
So once again, my name's Sonia. I'm California homegrown. I was born and raised in California. I did most of my grade school when I was in San Diego. Then I moved to the East Coast College, undergrad, medical school, and my residency in neurology, all in the East Coast. Then I came back to UC Irvine to do my fellowship. Amongst being a neurologist, I have a specialty in neuromuscular, which means people who have numbness, tingling, weakness, pain, I'm that specialist. And I do a special test for that as well. And the reason I came back to the high desert was my husband is from here and lived here most of his life and was quite adamant about coming back here and providing the best medical care that we could.
The medical profession has changed quite a bit in the past 15, 10, even 5 years. Healthcare has become really important to folks. I know that of all the things that I know about medical, and I'm a layperson, the one thing that happens to everybody at some point is headaches. And when we're talking about what topic we wanted to talk about today, this is something that probably will help a lot of folks who are listening right now. And we're going to try to dive in and learn a little bit more about how headaches happen, why they happen, what are some of the treatments that we could look at. So let's start with, what are headaches? You know, how do they happen and what causes them?
So, you know, Jeff, you're absolutely right. A majority of people will at least have a single headache throughout their lifetime. And unfortunately, a majority of us will have continuous headaches at some point in our life. But one of the most important things to understand is that there are a lot of things that we can change about headaches. And I'll get into that a little bit later.
Okay.
But, you know, when we talk about what causes headaches, migraines, and all the variation of headaches, unfortunately, like most things in medicine, there's not one thing that causes it. It's very multifactorial. A lot of the experts fight about what causes what. I think we both all agree that it's probably a large component of genetics as well as a large component of environmental factors. But as of right now, no one thing that causes headaches.
When we use the word genetics, most everybody gets it, what genetics are. Could you just explain a little bit more about what genetics is? Family history, those
yes.
sorts of things?
So absolutely. So family history is really important when it comes to headaches, specifically migraines. What people don't realize is, you know, there's a lot of things that we can modify in our life, but can't change who we're born from.
Right.
And it's a well-known fact that people who have a family history of headaches, such as migraines, and, you know, I say the word migraines a lot because that's one of the most common type of headaches, you're at a higher risk of having headaches yourself.
What are some of the symptoms of, I know that there are a number of different types of headaches and that have been described, whether they're, I've heard of migraines, cluster headaches, sinus headaches, hormone headaches. Focusing in on migraine, what's a migraine?
So, you know, that's a really great question. There's a lot of people that I've come across usually describe migraines as the most intense headache they have. But the actual definition of migraines, it's usually a headache that you have that's on one side of your head, whether it's on the left side or right side, tends to be behind the eye most of the time. And we usually describe it as a throbbing, pulsating pain. And some of the key features amongst it is that most people will describe this sensitivity to light or sounds, meaning the light makes their headaches worse or the sound makes their headache worse. Or the best way I always ask my patients if they're not sure about that is, if you have this type of headache and you go to a quiet, dark room, does it make you feel better? That's usually a migraine. And very rarely people can have spots and dots in their vision, which is a specific type of migraines.
So I'm going to admit something on the radio that I don't think I've ever told anybody.
Okay.
Not that it's a secret, but when I was a child, mm-hmm. and I was in grade school, I played football, and not every time, but sometimes after very heavy exercise, all of a sudden I'd see these like little dots around my eyes, and I would get what was called migraines at the time. Mm-hmm. And I did grow out of it as when I became an adult. But there's a difference between children getting migraines and adults. Maybe you can touch on that a little bit too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we know that pediatrics or children get migraines as well. Their description of headaches are quite different than the adult, you know, especially when you talk about younger children. We know children as young as 5, 6, 7 get headaches. And, you know, but their description is not the typical description. They may describe more about their stomach hurting or generally not feeling well. But, you know, one of the best advice I was given is always ask the child to draw it out. And there's very, very descriptive drawings that children can give about the head pain that they get with it. And unfortunately, children and teenagers who have headaches usually become adults with headaches and migraines. But it can be controlled if they learn what things trigger their migraines and if they can start medications.
So for our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas that are listening to us now, what are some of the signs that they should actually be more consciously aware of when they're caregiving or babysitting for young kids or teenagers?
It's not unusual to get a headache because we're sleep deprived or, you know, we've skipped a few meals. But when it becomes kind of a repetitive thing, you notice that it's routine that they get headaches. That's usually when I'd bring it up to a doctor's advice. Getting a headache here and there is not unusual. I mean, unfortunately, our lifestyles almost trigger headaches, right? A lot of us don't eat very healthy diets. We don't exercise very well.
Sure.
Yep. And those things can trigger headaches. But when it becomes something that someone is routinely complaining of, I'd bring that up to the pediatrician or their primary care doctor.
So there's a point, of course, where folks might not know what the seriousness or the serious level of a headache. I think that most moms and their dads would just grab a bottle of aspirin, children's aspirin, or whatever is appropriate, and maybe give that to their child. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of coach us or give us some tips on what should parents do or what should relatives do if they themselves have a headache? Mm-hmm. You know, because we don't want people to self-diagnose, and touch on diagnosis a little bit.
You know, absolutely. You're absolutely right about that, Jeff, because, you know, on a side note, what people don't realize is when they try to self-diagnose and treat their own headaches by taking an over-the-counter aspirin, Tylenol, Motrin, Excedrin, they actually don't realize that if they take that too much, you actually can get a different type of headache called a medication overuse headache.
You're
that
kidding.
Can actually be worse than the original headache. Oh. So I frequently diagnose that, and people don't realize that they're harming themselves more by taking these medications. And, you know, all of these medications are not without risk themselves. So if I can limit how many medications they're taking, that's one of the most important things. Now, when we talk about one thing that people can do, one of the best things to do is a headache diary. So what this is, you know, we all have our phones on us in the note sections, or if you want to be old school and bring out a notebook, what you do is when you have a headache, you kind of mark what date it is, around what time it is, morning, afternoon, night, and you can talk about things that you did today, things that you ate that day. What people don't realize specifically with migraines, there are very, very common food triggers. And so some people will see patterns with it. And my patients who are really very keen on it, they actually can avoid the food and avoid their migraines altogether.
That's a great tip. Mm-hmm. That you know, be proactive, take notes, because I would expect that when somebody finally has the opportunity to visit with a doctor to learn more about what's happening to them, they probably might not remember everything, and having those notes is important. How about treatment? When you do diagnose that somebody is having a migraine headache or a different kind of headache, what are the treatments for headaches?
So, you know, I always try to categorize into three different things. There are the modifiable lifestyle changes, which means things that we can change that we do on our day-to-day basis to try to prevent headaches. And once again, this is more geared towards migraines. But the second part is prophylactic. What that means, how do we prevent migraines from happening? And then lastly, abortive, meaning if you get a migraine, what medications can you take to get rid of that migraine in that time? So let's break that down.
Okay.
So let's talk about lifestyle, because, you know, most of us don't like to be on medications. Most of us want to try to avoid medications if we can. And there are some things that can affect it. For example, for migraines, few common triggers, sleep. Sleep deprivation is a huge, huge trigger. And, you know, unfortunately, we're a generation of very poor sleep habits. You know, a lot of us work. A lot of us have multiple responsibilities during the day. So we're sleeping later and we're waking up earlier. And we know that sleep deprivation causes migraines. So getting into a good, healthy sleep habit is very important. Food. We talked about food. Unfortunately, if you look it up, almost every food known to mankind has been a trigger for patients. But there are common food triggers. And unfortunately, they're all the good stuff. The red wine, the cheese, the chocolate. So, you know, I never tell patients to cut it out completely. But with the headache diary, some people will notice that their migraines always happen a few hours after eating X. For example, Chinese food can have a lot of MSG. MSG can cause headaches.
And MSG is a salt product?
I believe, yes.
Okay, so, I think.
Yeah, chocolate. Chocolate can trigger headaches.
You can't take that away.
And, you know, other things, caffeine. Caffeine can help headaches, but people may notice caffeine withdrawal headaches. So, you know, for example, I see these in college students. College students, week of final, they're increasing how much caffeine they're taking through, you know, Red Bull, Monsters, coffee, tea, and then stop it. All of a sudden, they get coffee headaches.
What's a withdrawal?
It is. It's a type of withdrawal. You're absolutely right. Other things that we know. Let's go to the next thing. So those are some lifestyle changes that you can make, and that really focuses on food. People will also tell you other common triggers. For example, living up here in the high desert, atmospheric changes can cause migraines. A lot of people, if they really pay attention, they'll notice when they go down the hill or they come up the hill, they'll notice migraines happening. Altitude changes, flying in airplanes, even changes that happen because of weather can trigger migraines.
So if some of our listeners who are listening to us now might live near the water or the ocean at sea level, that can even have that atmospheric difference can
impact
people? Okay.
Absolutely. That's not always the case, but people will notice it as well. So let's talk a little bit about medications that you can take. You know, first I always let my patients try changing these lifestyles. And if that doesn't work, or if your headaches become quite frequent, we talk about preventing migraines. So now there are multiple medications that can prevent migraines. Now, they don't work immediately. They work a few months down the line, but there are medications that can prevent them from happening.
How about triggering? What causes headaches? Maybe we can get into a little bit more of that. Things like illnesses or stress, or you were just talking about environment a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Can you touch on those factors?
Sure. So outside of environmental factors, of course, there's personal factors that that play into it as well. For example, you touched upon a very, very big one, which is stress. I think most of us, if not all of us, have noticed headaches that are worse when we're under a lot of stress.
And is there something simple that when somebody is under stress, because we all go through stress on something, whether it's from work or home or just from time to time life, is there a practice like taking 60 seconds and closing your eyes and breathing? Or what tips would you suggest as a medical professional to help listeners right now get through that first minute or 2 minutes?
So, you know, what I tell my patients is that, you know, we're a busy, busy group of people. But you're right. We all have at least a minute or two where we can take it to ourselves. And I tell patients, find something that makes you happy. For most of us, listening to music makes us happy. So I'll tell them, you know what? Lock yourself in that bathroom. Turn on a song that you like just for a minute or two. Take a few deep breaths, and it's that can do a huge wonder. Or the other thing for my patients who are a little bit, who have a little bit more time, those breathing techniques, like you were saying, you know, taking a deep breath in and focusing on your deep breath out can do a lot of wonders for stress and anxiety, which can worsen headaches.
So I'm going to do something right now. I want to take about 10 seconds to ask all of our listeners just to close your eyes for a second, unless if you're driving, don't do it then. Close your eyes and just for a moment, think of a sandy beach. We're here in California. It's beautiful. And it could be as simple as this, maybe.
Absolutely.
Close your eyes and just take one deep breath in slowly. Okay, I see some of you not wanting to do it, but do it. And now exhale slowly. And then think about, okay, what did that just do to me physiologically? And what could that mean if I'm in a stressful position? Is it that simple?
You know, in some cases, yes, but not in all cases. Of course, to some people where stress and anxiety have become a large part of their life, there are some things that non-pharmacological treatments won't work with. And when those simple measures don't work or other measures that you take, trying to get better sleep, better eating habits, then it's time to talk to your doctor.
So it's really important to understand it's not just one thing, but there are things that folks can do consciously to make sure that they help themselves as this during the process of getting through a headache.
Absolutely, because I will tell you a huge part of it is how we take care of our bodies. And the less that we listen to our bodies when it comes to sleep, stress, anxiety, and eating habits, water habits, dehydration, it worsens the headaches.
How can exercise help folks, or moderate exercise help?
I think everyone views exercise as different, but I think that a majority of people will find that once they start exercising, it is a stress relief type of measure, whether it's the endorphins that make you feel good or whether it's just the act of getting your anger out, getting your stress out through exercise. It can be very therapeutic to patients. And for people who have headaches, sometimes just getting that body in motion can be very helpful.
We were touching on migraines, and there are some other types of headaches. I just made some notes about sinus or even hormone headaches.
Mm-hmm.
Can you touch a little bit on what the differences are between those and migraines?
Sure. So, I mean, we touched upon migraines because I think migraines is one of the one that brings them to the doctor the most because of how intense it can be. The other types of headaches that we see are tension headaches. Tension headaches are more a headache that happens kind of in a band-like distribution throughout your head and usually is associated with that neck and shoulder stress. Tension that we get. Other headaches are cluster headaches. So you touched upon that. Cluster headaches are actually quite rare, thankfully, because they can be an extremely painful type of headache. Usually they're more common in men, usually around their 30s. And what it is usually a very sharp pain that people get that come and go throughout the day. But they can be associated with other symptoms as well, such as running of your eye, like runny, watery eyes, runny nose, swelling on one side of your face, droopy eyelid on one side. And those headaches will come and go. The reason why they're called cluster headaches, they will come for a short period of time, a few weeks, a few months, and then they can be gone for months to years and then happen again for a few weeks. So they happen in clusters throughout your lifetime. But those can be extremely painful. So most patients will eventually go to a doctor for those pains.
Where do strokes come into play? Whether they're, I think I've heard TIA strokes or full-on strokes. Is that something that our listeners should at least be mindful of or learn know a little bit more about?
Absolutely. I mean, TIA and strokes can be several segments on its own. But, you know, when it comes to TIA strokes and headaches, usually a headache in itself is not a symptom of a TIA or a stroke. Okay. Usually it's a headache plus other neurological symptoms. For example, if you have an all of a sudden new onset headache that you've never had before in your life with vision problems or with speech issues, sounding like you maybe drank a little bit too much or trouble getting out your words, or a headache that's associated with one side of your body being weak or numb, Those are emergency signs, and those are absolutely things that need to be taken to an ER immediately.
Immediately.
And, you know, just to briefly touch upon the difference between TIA and stroke, they're considered to be on the spectrum of each other in the sense that a TIA is a stroke, but without the findings that we look on imaging. But you take a TIA just as seriously as you take a stroke.
And only a doctor, if something gets that serious, only a doctor should be providing medications to address whatever diagnosis is uncovered or discovered by a medical professional?
From the terms of TIA and stroke, absolutely. Because what people don't know is there's actually a medication that can, strokes usually happen because there's a blood clot in your brain. And there's a medication that if you come to the hospital fast enough, within 3 to 4 hours, you can get that medication and potentially dissolve that clot and return back to normal almost immediately. And then there's even surgical intervention that we can do now up to a few hours to even a day later. So in those situations, going to the hospital, the fastest is the best.
We have our very special guest who's been with us for this healthcare segment is Dr. Sonia Nair. She's a well-known neurologist. Before we conclude this particular healthcare segment, are there any other final tips or suggestions or things you want to let our listeners know about, Dr. Nair?
I think the last thing to know is about when is a headache not just a headache, and when should you seek out immediate medical care? I think one of the first things, like we mentioned in a stroke, when you have a headache with one-sided or new neurological symptoms, like we said, vision problems, speech weakness, numbness, or tingling, the other thing is all of a sudden the worst headache of your life. We call it a thunderclap headache, meaning you're doing fine, and then within a split second, you have the worst headache. That needs medical care immediately. And then lastly, what we call our red warning red flags. If you're over the age of 50, you have weight loss, you have night sweats, that's associated with a new type of headache that started all of a sudden, talk to your doctor.
Our very special guest today has been Dr. Sonia Nair. She is affiliated with Choice Medical Group. As we mentioned, Choice is the Victor Valley, California area's only locally owned and operated medical group for over 26 years. I love having guests in from Choice because they're experts at healthcare. We're going to continue our series of healthcare topics in the future. We hope Dr. Nair will come back and talk with us about some other topics. In the meantime, please have a very safe day and evening. And thank you very much for joining us today, Dr. Nair.
Thank you, Jeff.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.